It is very good when you are talking to an unsaved person or a person that's inquiring to be able to say, look, look to the cross. Now look about everything else, everything around. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was sharing that with somebody yesterday, late afternoon, for a few hours. Look to the cross. It's the only answer to all of your problems, all of the world's problems. The person on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the passage we read from the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, it said there, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? That's a warning, isn't it? Written to Hebrew believers, Jewish believers. How shall we, and Paul could say we, because he was a Jew. I say Paul, some people don't, but how shall we escape? Folks, if we are delivered by looking to the cross and getting saved, we need to continue to look to the Lord Jesus for the sustenance in our Christian life, because it is needed. We only have begun, like the man yesterday, it's only the beginning. I said there's a whole lot of things to go through as a Christian and experience in life that we might grow in the Lord Jesus Christ and become more like him and be, as it were, prepared somewhat for heaven. But how shall we escape if we neglect? And thinking of the Hebrews, as he did in chapter 3, of the next chapter, chapter 3, we're entering into the rest. How can we rest in our spiritual life if we don't take good heed to it? And we neglect the things that we should be. Yeah, we can get saved, all of the Lord, but our responsibility is to continue to be in the Word. And he was thinking, I think, when he wrote that, because he spoke in chapter 3 about the rest, he was thinking back to the occasion where the Israelites were delivered from Egypt, and we say that is their salvation. The blood was applied to the doorpost. They got out of Egypt. But after they got out, and Moses was up there in the mount getting the commandments. Oh, well, he's dead. 40 days have passed. He must be dead by now. So let's make a golden calf. What were they doing? They were neglecting their salvation. They were worshipping the things around and not the Lord that just delivered them. And that whole generation, as we find, eventually were carcasses, as it, carcasses fell in the wilderness from 20 years old and up because they neglected their salvation. Let's not do that. We have been benefited with so great a salvation. Why neglect it? I don't think we sometimes consider the significance of the change that happens at salvation and the destiny change from hell to heaven. What a great thing salvation is. So great a salvation. You think about that, meditate on it this week. Great salvation if you're a Christian. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the many multitude of examples we have from your word that gives us warning and how we should then live in our generation and not neglect our salvation that you have graciously provided through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, paying the full penalty for our sins on the cross. And there from that point we have access to the very presence of the Father in our prayers through the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful salvation. What a great salvation. And as we consider the things that we shouldn't neglect this morning, they would be diligent to take note of them. And we might look to the Lord Jesus, that he's building in us and making us more like him, building in us and through us as united people, the bride, the church, the Lord Jesus Christ bride. We pray and thank you now for your word, and may we be challenged from it and speak to our hearts this morning, speak to the hearts of those listening online and those, Lord, that we may have spoken to throughout the week who are not Christians but need the Lord and experience the great salvation. Blessed for your praise and your glory, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We have looked the outward look of salvation. We have to look from not within, but without for salvation. We've looked at the service, the outward look we are to have with this so great salvation. We need to share it with other people. We've looked outward, and we've looked upward by faith, the upward look. We've seen that. Now we come to the inward look of inquiry. Once you're saved, you should never neglect this book. Never. Every day you should be in the book. As you read through the book, you'll find that those experienced great things and God working in their life were in the book. And they were reading it constantly. We need to take the inward look. As it says in the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 25. James 1:25, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth. Get that? He didn't just come out of Egypt and then go worshipping a golden calf. You continue in it. The perfect law of liberty, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. As I said, as you look, you see the people that were blessed in the Old Testament and New Testament that followed hard after the book and looked into the book and continued in it and were not forgetful hearers. Later on in the book of James, he said, you hear the word of God and you're convicted about it and must do that and must read the book, must witness, you know, have the outward look, must have devotions. And you walk out the church and it says in James, and you forget what manner of man you were as you come face to face with the reality and the truth of God's word. Don't do that. James is urging people not to do that. It's not a book of straw, as some people try to say. The book of James is not. Luther said that. And he was wrong. He, in the denomination he was in then, was saying, well, they're just works, works, works. Yeah, but if you get saved, you should do it. But don't do it to get saved. So continue in it, folks, in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 17 and verse 1. And now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, and that is not the verse. It's verse 11, that's why. Someone's laughing, they must have been looking at it. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Those at Berea were more noble in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures. What does it say? Daily they looked into the book. It's God's holy word, God's instruction for mankind. They looked whether these things were so. And there is an example of a fellow in chapter 19 of the Gospel of Matthew and verse 16. And he was inquiring. This is a non-believing person. And behold, one came unto him in verse 16. Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He's already wrong in his question, isn't he? What can I do to work for eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good. The Lord's already nailing it down. You know, you're not going to get there by good works. There's none good, no, not one. And Romans tells us about that. But God, God, but if thou wilt enter into eternal life, keep the commandments. And he said, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honour thy father, thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. The young man saith, all these things I've kept up, I'm a good boy. I've done all these things. What lack I? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. You see, the Lord was testing whether he really trusted, or whether he's trusting his good works, or trusting by faith in the Lord. And the Lord nailed it down here, and the man went away very sorrowful, because he wasn't willing to sell all that he had, because he was a very rich man. And he said, that's not fair. I worked hard for this. Dad worked hard. Grandpa worked hard. It's our inheritance. I'm not going to give it away. So he's not willing to enter in. You see, his faith wasn't there to be able to do that and see that God would supply the need. Take a good look. And this man was an inquiring man. The inward look of inquiring about the Lord. I don't know about you, but when you have a issue as a Christian in your life, where should you go for inquiry? Where should you go for instruction? To the book. And inquire in the Word of God. There's the instance of Nicodemus, isn't there, in John chapter 4. And he came unto Jesus by night and asked him how he could be born again. He was inquiring. He had a heart that was looking for answers. And the Bible said, for as Christians in Peter, be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you. And if someone is inquiring, God's already working in their heart, isn't he? And there you are to give what? Your answers or Bible answers? Bible answers. Study to show yourself approved. Look into the Word of God that you might be able to answer people. I listened for a whole hour yesterday. I couldn't get a word in edgeways. But finally was able to, what's the Bible say? You know, we can go on our human thoughts, and an unsaved person, I think this and I think that, and you know, the world's flat and all the rest, and the moon landing, there was a footprint on the, whatever, you know, there's a footprint there before he stepped out and the first man stepped on the moon. So what does that have to do? But the answer is in the book, isn't it? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house, Acts 16. If a man receive the Lord, John 1:12, Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess and believe. The answer is in the book, and we need to be ready to give an answer to that as we've made inquiry, like Nicodemus was inquiring. Then be ready as a Christian to give an answer to these people that are asking questions. Search the scriptures, it said in John 5:39, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And many verses around that verse gives us instruction. Search the scriptures. If you're looking for an answer and you're not a Christian, search the scriptures. Where do most people go today to get answers? YouTube, yeah. Did I see it? Google, internet. And there's all sorts of people on there. How do you know what sort of people they are? Are they trying to make themselves rich from you Googling their thing, and they get so many runs up on the board, and then they're promoted, and their program goes further out, and more people, more money. You know, don't go there. Go to the Word of God. Go to those that have a testimony that they are true, born again, believing people that have answers and that are people of the book. Search the scriptures. You think you have eternal life? Look at them, and then they will tell you if you have or not. And as I've already said, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. We need to search the scriptures constantly, because they have the answers. And that's the key verse for Awana. Way back then, when we were training for Awana and instituting it in churches, putting it into practice, that was the key verse. Study to show yourself approved. Have you been? Have we been? Have we been looking into God's Word this week? When you got in there, did you get excited about what it said? And I've got to go further, I've got to go here, and I've got to go there. And all the different leads you have in the scripture, you've got a Bible that you can look up and find these things, and hopefully you've written, oh, that refers to back then, and that refers to the future, or whatever it is. Search the scriptures. In Psalm 19, listen to what the psalmist said after he praised God for the heavens and the wonderful works of God. Then he came to the second thing that we have in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. What? God's word. God's word is the way. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Up to the point of being saved, there are many, many unwise decisions that are made by a whole lot of people in this world. And even leaders in governments now are making totally unwise decisions because they're not versed in the book, in the Word of God. And they're not being made wise. Making wise the simple. The statutes, the law, the testimony, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Does it not rejoice your heart to read the word and the promises that are written in there and be encouraged and excited, uplifted by reading the statutes? The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes as you read. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than... yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. You know, a priority is to be placed by the Christian on the Word of God so that we do not neglect so great salvation that we have. I remember after I got saved as a young fella, 12, and then from there on just going to Dad's, the library we had, all the Christian books, and looking across and finding them and getting into reading the Word of God and reading all the cross references and studying and studying and studying. I remember that. It helped me as a young person to grow in the Lord. We didn't have a church to go to that was faithfully preaching the Word. We had a Sunday school now and then down at Cockatoo and other things that Uncle John run and Auntie Pauline and different ones up at Avonlea. And we had the Furlongs. Remember the Furlongs? They were doing the Sunday school, and I think I've still got the Bible that they gave me. I met with a man yesterday, as I said before. I said, have you got a Bible? Oh, yeah, it's somewhere. Uh-huh. When someone says that, I've not been reading this. And he went and got it, and he pulled it out, and he said, look in the front of it. Sam Jukahard signed this and gave it to me 30 years ago, and it's still in fine condition. Get it out, read it, use it. This will give you instruction on the way. Don't let it collect dust in a cupboard or in a suitcase or whatever. Store it away. Pull it out. Use the Word of God. Grow in the Word of God. It is wonderful to have the manufacturer's instructions in our hand. And if you're a mechanic of any sorts, it's best to go when you have a problem by the manufacturer's instructions, if you have them. Otherwise, you'll make a mess of your car. It'll have all sorts of problems. I've learnt that by experience. I know how to do it. And later on, going to the, there's the order, 1, 2, 3. Go to the manufacturer's instructions. And you can use that illustration on non-Christians. They get that. If you're in the kitchen and cooking, and I don't do that, I let my wife do that. She's really good at it, so I'm still alive and I'm 70. She goes, I'd have to see the cookbook or the recipe out on the bench, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and I go down the order. We have to follow the instructions. God knows us inside out, doesn't he? He made us. Of course he knows how we work. The inward look of inquiry. Get into the book. The inward look of examination. When we get into the book, we then examine in 2 John verse 8. Look to yourselves that you lose not those things that we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Look to yourselves that you lose not, Christian, he's talking to Christians, those things that you have wrought. Many years ago, I had a lady that came to me and said, if I stop doing what I should be doing as a Christian, and I go out and live in the world, will I lose those things that I've already gained? And I said, okay, well, I'll look that one up. This is the verse. You do lose those things that you have wrought because you go out and live for yourself. And she did. And the losses in the life from then on have just accumulated. I've lost contact now. Have a good look inside. Am I doing what I should be doing? As you look in the book and it convicts, it can convert you to doing what you should be doing. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Know ye not how Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. You know, a reprobate is not a Christian. A reprobate is an unbeliever. They've gone away from what they knew to be right and have not believed and received it. Examine yourselves whether you be that. That's a good exhortation to Christians, isn't it? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation we can't escape? The answer is no, we won't escape. And if we neglect it, by not examining ourselves, are we walking in the way of God truly according to the word? We're not doing ourselves a service at all. We're not helping our Christian life to grow. Is Jesus Christ in you, or are you a reprobate? Reprobate sounds bad, doesn't it? It is bad. In Corinthians, where it tells us as we come before the Lord's table, and we read it often, this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28 at the conclusion there, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That was verse 29 and verse 28 before that. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Let a man what? Examine himself. Examine yourself. Wonderful time exams were when you had them back in school and the pressure was put on, especially in the older years. And you had to study and study and get prepared. Examine, because you're going to face the examination. And we will all. And we must examine ourselves, that we might be walking with the Lord and not partake in that context unworthily of the Lord's Supper, because we have not examined ourselves and bring upon ourselves the judgment that follows. If we judge ourselves, we should not be judged, but if we judge ourselves, we won't be judged. And we then confess if there are things we need to. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6. It reads there, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are. And then it says this, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. It sounds like the perseverance of saints, doesn't it? Hold fast the confidence and rejoicing firm to the end. What end? The end of life. It's all going to come to an end. We realize that. If we hold fast. Are you holding fast to the confidence in the scriptures of your eternal life? And verse 14, notice again. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Christ is indwelling us. We're living a Christian life to please him. The Holy Spirit is convicting us and we are partakers of Christ. Well, didn't we partake of Christ when we got saved? Yes, we did, but we need to continue to do that constantly in our lives. and we become more like him. That's logical. We think like he thinks. We do what he wants. And we're made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence. An unconfident Christian will not be a growing Christian, will not be going an outgoing Christian. In chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews, 10 and verse 35 says much the same. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. The inward look of examination will bring about this confidence we have in the Lord. We know we're right, not because we're important, but because God's word is true and we are totally confident, totally convicted it's right and true. We're human and we'll have doubts at times. But the more you're in the book, the more confident you become. Hey, we're living in a day when so many things are being fulfilled and will be fulfilled according to prophecy. What does that give you? If you know the things that are happening and looking at the world and looking at the word, and you have complete confidence that God is still in control, don't you? I do. It encourages me to be confident. What God is doing, he said he would, and he is. And that gives you, get into the word to have that confidence. You have that confidence. Do you have the confidence? Cast what? Not away your confidence. Revelation chapter 2 is speaking about a church called the Ephesus Church. Smyrna was the first, Ephesus here is the first one addressed by John. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4 reads, nevertheless, you know, he said, you've done well. You've been getting into the doctrine. You've been getting into the word of God. You hold fast to that which is good. You hate the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Isn't it something in our life that happens? It happens all the time in relation to things in this world and maybe to people in this world. Left our first love. We don't look after what we have brought or what we have or the people around us as we ought to, and it's a mark of we have left our first love. The people there in Ephesus, they were privileged, a privileged church. Don't you think you'd be a privileged church if you had the Apostle Paul ministering, Timothy ministering, John ministering? The man that got the book of Revelation, and this was a church that knew doctrine. They were firm and steady in the truth. There had been a problem, but from the head to the heart, and the heart was not in love with the Lord as it should be. First love. You know what first love means, don't you? If you're married, if you've been married, or if you're thinking of getting married, first love. The honeymoon is over. And they were slogging it away with their heads and not their heart. And God wants our heart. He will bless the people that follow him with their heart, the truth of the word in their heart. Their head, heart connected, doing his bidding. But have we left our first love? Or how do I know I've left my first love for God? Do you want me to tell you? We've been over it already today. You've stopped reading the word. You've stopped praying to God. You've stopped having a relationship with him. You don't attend the church and get excited with other Christians about the things of the Lord. You've stopped witnessing. You've left your first love. Now, if any or all of those are applicable to oneself, one must change. One must get to doing what God has bidden us to do. The harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. Millions of people that need to be told. Let's go tell them, and let's be used of God in that way. In Psalm 40 and verse 12, it reads, for innumerable evils, and I was reading this and I thought that would fit in right here in this point through Psalms this week, innumerable evils have compassed me about. Trouble was everywhere for David. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able, notice what he says, I'm not able to look up. I don't want to see the Lord because I know I'm convicted, this is wrong, I shouldn't be doing these things, and I can't look up. I'm not able to look up. God wants us to look up and pray to him in confidence. But when the evils compass us and when we're overcome by these things, we can't look up. We look down. Yeah, we pray and we bow our heads. They are more than the hairs of my head, David said. And I don't think he was a bald man. I think he had a head of hair. Therefore my feet faileth. My heart faileth. Do our hearts fail because we fail to look up because the sins that are in our heart are compassed us about and I just feel oppressed by these things? Go to 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. Confess your sins. Get right with the Lord. So the inward look of examining ourselves, the onward look. We may have to finish with this one. Proverbs chapter 4. The book of Proverbs chapter 4. I love this. 4 and verse 25. Let thine eyes look what? Right on. Straight before you. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Yes. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil, like David just should have, as we read in the book of Psalms, Psalms 40 there. Look right on. Look forward. Look onward. And the perseverance of the Christian life. We've probably all ridden push bikes in our day when we could. But as you're riding down the road and you get distracted by something and look over there, what happens? What happens? Oh, I'm off the road already. You're not looking forward. And that can happen while you're driving a car too. You're going along and then, blah, 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 oh, I'm on the dirt. Back on the road. And Christians so often get off the track because they're not looking right on, looking forward, looking to the Lord, looking to the future, looking in the Word of God. How much of the Bible is prophetic? A third of it. That's looking to the future, isn't it? Looking toward heaven, looking toward setting our affections on things above. What is there? Let thine eyes look right on. Don't be distracted by the things of this world. We get distracted and we're looking at this, and all of a sudden we find our Christian life taking a detour in the wrong direction. Let thine eyes look right on. The look of perseverance and the look into the future. Philippians. Paul said this very pointedly in chapter 3 in verse 10. Chapter 3 verse 10 says, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. And did Paul know that? Yes, he did. Through experience, on three occasions, he wrote about different experiences that he had and his persecution, his suffering, in quite a few verses in each group of those. And he, through those things, was being made conformable unto his death. Remember on one occasion, I think it's the end of chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians. There, he besought the Lord thrice for this problem to go away. And what did the Lord say? My grace is made perfect in weakness. When you're weak, then I am strong through you. When you're strong, I'm not strong through you. The Lord saying that. The Lord is able to use a broken vessel, broken of self and sin and Satan, and he is able to use them. And being made conformable unto his death, Paul knew what he was talking about here. By experience, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend for that which I am apprehended of Christ. You see, set his eyes ahead. It's like the horse for those, maybe not amongst us anymore, with the blinkers on. So they didn't get distracted. from the things or get a fright and bolt. Now remember, Dad had to take the milk that they milked in the cows in the morning in a cart to Cockatoo to deliver it before school. How'd you go, young? Oh, there's no young. They're all over there. Then he remembers going with old Jack. There's one pulling the cart, and old Jack got a fright, and he took off. So what happened to the milk? There's no deliveries that day from the big, you know, those milk cans. They have them as letterboxes now, from the old galvanised containers. So must have held about 40 litres. And off the cart they went, because he was distracted in Christians. That's what happens. When you get distracted, when you get frightened, and you bolt, and you haven't got answers because you're not in the book, your life becomes a disaster. And you have to get back to the book. I had a pastor ring me some months ago and say, look, there's a person I need you to talk to. And he's tried everything else. His life's in a disaster. It's in a mess. But now he's looking to God. Well, you could have avoided all that, couldn't you? By starting early and looking at the book. And that he might attain to the resurrection and seize, apprehend, like a policeman apprehends somebody for doing wrong. God has apprehended us, it says, for that which I may be apprehended. I'm apprehended of Christ. God has seized you, got a hold of you, drawn in you to himself, and then he says, now look around, and this is what I want you to do. I want to guide you all the way. He seized us for a purpose. Let's seize the purpose for which we've been seized or apprehended. Brethren, he said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind. Don't look around. Get distracted, look back, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before. The things behind will discourage us if we've walked away from the Lord. But looking forward, we have opportunity, new day, every day, to serve the Lord. Reaching forth to the things that are before, not distracted by the things that are behind. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He wasn't neglecting his salvation, was he? He was putting everything into the fight that he might bring glory to the Lord. And if I think ever was a man in the New Testament that did that along with the other apostles, but Paul, in his sincerity and his honesty and his apprehending and seizing why he was saved, he's the man that did it. And everything, he said, I've lost everything. I've lost my reputation. I've lost my position as a Pharisee. I've given it all up for seizing the Lord. The prize that is set before us, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, we started with the people of Israel coming out of Egypt. They could have seized the prize very early. They could have got in there 40 years earlier, and all those people that died in the wilderness wouldn't have died. They would have gone in to seize the prize. Caleb and Joshua did. They said, let's go. The other said, no, the giants are too big. And as we look around, we think, it's all too big. It's all too much. I give up. I quit before I start. That's what Israel did. They neglected their salvation. Are you going to neglect yours, so great a salvation? No. Press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's go forward, not looking back. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your instructions to us as Christians, that we need to seize the opportunity, seize the prize of eternal life. And oh Lord, when we get to heaven, what a joy it will be. We won't go in there being ashamed before you at your coming, but we will be able to go before you with confidence, because we have confidently made contact with you constantly down here in this world, praying, reading, meditating, seizing the opportunities you put before us. Bless each one here with a victorious Christian life, that we wouldn't be turned aside, but looking forward to the prize. We ask and pray your blessing upon those that are here and those that are unsaved who are listening in or here. Might they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to begin the race, the Christian race, and set a goal, seizing Christ, apprehending him for whoever apprehended them. Bless them with salvation, Lord. May they trust in you. We ask and pray this sincerely in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.